Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of a program, Dare to be Different. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, MediaWave 1548 Satellite Islam, and on the DSTV Booker 826. And rather chilly this morning after, we've had topsy-turvy weather in the last couple of days. We have sweltering heat, and then we have the cold, and then bits of rain, and we are looking and scanning the skies. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with beneficial rain. We definitely need it. We're now going into the new season, and just have left to winter, but if you look around us, some of us say winter hasn't really left us as yet. Looking around into nature, we find definitely there's been a dramatic change. From the dismal browns, and we now find the beautiful greens coming in, and alhamdulillah, we are truly blessed. And this morning we've got a wonderful guest, no stranger, has been away for a while, and to those of you living in Asia, perhaps a little further, to all know, known as Uncle Sam, Abdul Samad, and yes, always ready to share and give lots of advice, and I must say to you, sharing is part of his nature, and he's in the studio with me. Assalamu alaikum, Abdul Samad.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ismail, and assalamu alaikum to the listeners.
JazakumAllah for being with us after such a long period and absence, and you've been sorely missed. I know lots of people are saying, but when does he come back? I said, when he is ready, he'll let us know, and alhamdulillah. last week, I managed to bump into him. He said, no, definitely we'll have a program. I beg your pardon, about 2 weeks ago. Now, Abdul Samad is associated with the food security, and that's high on the everyone's agenda, and wherever you go, people are talking about what we're ingesting, what are we eating, are we aware of what we're eating? And some people say, well, you can't sort of avoid everything, but what you can, there is a way out to a certain extent, or rather to a smaller scale, and that is we plant our own, for our daily needs, the vegetables that we need in our garden. And maybe some of us have more space, could even go into planting our own fruit trees and the larger crops. And if you even have a bigger space, you can go into for, planting for the whole year. So it just depends what you have. But it does not exclude anybody. I must say it does not exclude anybody. Today, really, we spoil for choices of what we can plant. And it does not matter. Abdul Samad has been testimony to that, that even if we have a concrete space, you can plant lots and lots of stuff. So this morning you can help us. And I want to start with this program. Remember, the number to dial this morning is 854-1548, our young engineer waiting on to take your calls. And if you have any queries, any questions specifically with regards to food security, planting of food and so forth, we'd appreciate it. The number again this morning, 854-1548. Now, I want to start this morning's edition with what are the three common mistakes that people make when the planting season comes? I think by now you have lots of experience and you always share that with us. Now, people come in and say, well, we're going to plant and we're going to get suddenly bow and we're just putting the seeds and it's going to grow. And some of us are saying, well, fine, we're not that adventurous, but whatever we grow, we'll see it may, or we'll get seedlings. And then come a couple of weeks, you find, well, everything's just gone, down, 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 down. And I must say that I think there are three common mistakes. But actually share it with us, and then we take it on from there.
Jazakallah, Ismail. What I found over the years, alhamdulillah, is that people start planting seeds, like you just mentioned, seed or seedling. They go out to the nursery, buy a pack of seedlings, be it tomatoes, chilies, peppers, you name it, perennials, and they come and they stick it into the ground, like you just mentioned, and they expect miracles to happen. It does not work that way. The biggest investment in any garden is your soil. You get your soil right, and believe me, anything you plant in there, alhamdulillah, is going to grow. I always tell people, I had a workshop this week, Wednesday, I did a workshop for this Crescent Haven orphanage, alhamdulillah, quite a lot of ladies came to my house, I accommodated them there, and that is where I started preparing your soil. Dig in a lot of organic matter is very important. Compost and organic matter, I mentioned organic matter, I'm referring to leaves, dry leaves, a dry lawn, a bit of kraal manure. I'm not too happy with kraal manure. I go for sheep litter. Sheep litter is excellent. because it is milder, it's not so hot, it does not burn the roots of your plants when you do plant your seedlings in there. So dig in a lot of this matter into your soil. And at least, I always tell people, when you do this, do not rush out to the nursery the same day, buy seedlings and plant it in there. No, leave it for about a week, keep it damp, put in your fertilizer. I use an organic fertilizer called Fertibear 31315. This is excellent, it's an organic fertilizer. I mix it in there, and I leave it for a week. Leave it damp, so because this matter that you're putting in there needs to dissolve, it needs to break out and blend in with your soil. A week later, you get your seedling. I don't encourage people that do not know much about gardening to go the route of planting with seeds. I do seeds, alhamdulillah, very successfully. But go out to the nursery, go and buy a pack of seedlings. It's about 20 rand for a pack of 6 seedlings. Now you plant them in there. And also now people don't seem to realize that the seedling, when you put it in there, you need to keep your soil a bit damp. I don't mean waterlogged, because then it's going to rot the root, you're going to get fungus growth onto your plant. So just keep your soil a bit damp, because that roots need to now grow into the new environment it's put into. And if you can do that, and provide a bit of shade, initially provide a bit of shade over the seedling, because it's still very young. If you're going to get harsh sun on there, it's going to scald the leaves, it's going to burn the leaves. That seedling cannot handle that exorbitant heat, which Ismail mentioned earlier. We did have a few scorches recently. Alhamdulillah, the past few days has been a bit cooler. So, first thing, get your soil right. This is very, very important. Number two, when you plant your seedling, just keep your soil a bit damp. If you do not have the opportunity of watering it even once a day, then mulch around your seedling, put a lot of dry matter over your seedling. If you do not have dry leaves or lawn, then take newspaper, shred the newspaper a little bit and put newspaper around your seedling, because that will preserve the moisture in your soil and it will keep the soil temperature cool. Number two. And number three, initially for the first week or so, provide a little bit of shelter over that. If you cannot have these shade cloths or so, then if you have old sun filter curtaining, which I use on my when I plant seeds, if you have an old sun filter curtaining, put it over your seedlings, because that will provide that shelter, that shade that the seedling needs for at least a week to 10 days, and then remove it, and believe me, you're going to get joy come about 3-4 weeks later. Shukran.
Jazakumullah khair. So the first thing that we're looking at, we know that the importance is soil, and Abdul Samad has given some ideas of what we could do. And what is important is not to rush out and to plant until your soil has matured. So if you're planting or if you're digging in, whether it be litter, whether it be organic matter, whatever you're going to be putting in, let it settle and then plant. So for about a week, but keep it damp, I think that is the thing. And then he also spoke about fertilizer. Now the fertilizer is very, very important. Many of us think, well, fine, once you've got it put into a flower, you stick something into the ground, it's going to grow. Unfortunately, what has happened is over the years, all the nutrients have been leached out, it is, you know, washed away. So the ground needs assistance. And like all of us, I think, as human beings too, we need constant feeding and we need boosts. So this is what it is. This is what the fertilizer is all about. And I think lastly is water. Is that correct?
Yeah, not too much water initially, because it's a young plant. It cannot absorb all that water. So just keep the best way. Many people in Ismail have asked me this question. How often do we water our plants? And nobody can give you an answer to that, because a lot of factors play its part. The sun, if it's exorbitant sun, the wind also dries over your soil. Even if you have a lot of water and if it's very windy, it's going to dry over your soil. So I tell people the best way to check if your soil requires water is to stick your index finger into the soil up to the first joint. And if the tip of your finger is wet, it's damp, do not water. Because on the surface, no matter how much water you put in there, it's always going to look dry. It's just about 2-3 centimeters below the surface is where you needed moisture. So if you stick your index finger into the soil up to the first joint, and the tip of your finger is a bit moist, do not water, because that is sufficient water for that plant to survive. too much water, if you pull your finger out and water is like dripping over, it's very muddy, you're going to lose that plant. It's going to rot.
So we have our budding gardeners out there who are wanting to start out, and the first, or the rather the common mistakes that we have, many of us make, is that we do not look at after our soil, we do not give it any food, and of course the watering is very important, I think. And what you said, many of us make this mistake, and this is not just for just soil, but any plant, whether it's indoors or outdoors. And they say that you kill plants by two things: you overwater, you underwater.
You see, Ismail, when we look at our plant, and you see the soil is dry, and you say, shame, oh, this plant needs water, shame. And we put water in, come 3-4 hours later, oh, it's a shame. We kill our plant because we love it so much, shame, shame, shame. We kill more plants, Ismail, by overwatering than underwatering. If you do not water sufficient, that plant will talk to you. What will happen? That plant will wilt a little bit. That will tell you that it requires water. So this is my habit. I allow my soil to dry between watering. Say I watered Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I do not water at all. I allow that soil to dry a bit, because if there's excess moisture in your soil, that Thursday, because the soil is now getting dry, and it encourages the roots to grow, because they're looking for moisture in the soil, the roots grow, it strengthens your plant. So avoid watering every day. Give it a break once or twice a week. Do not water. But the plant, look at your plant, and a plant, when you see it's wilting, that's when it needs water. Do not say shame, shame. We'll kill our plants with love.
I read something during the course of the week. There were two people who planted, at the same time, neighbors. And what had happened, the one plant used to water his plant very regularly, and the other didn't. And after a period of time, we found that the person who did not water it as often, his plant was doing far better.
Alhamdulillah.
And they were saying, but now why is that happening? He said, no, you were, like you said, you were sort of muddy coddling, feeling so sorry. And what had happened is that particular plant did not develop strong roots.
That's right.
Whereas this other one that was planted, that was given an opportunity to find for its own food, its That's own right. water,
Excellent.
Built, was strengthened, was More able, to, and then eventually was able to withstand it. But we just want, does not mean now you've got to not give any water or any food. No, I think that is not what what you've got to do is, and like Abdul Samad said, you've got to check every plant. We can't say, look, you've got to water, so much every day. But we're now talking about when you're starting out. Other plants, and, I've had other guests who say that if you are going to plant, to water, to maintain a regimen. So, for example, if you're watering something on a Monday, then do it every Mondays. So what happens is that plant understands and is able to. But if you do it, fine, I'll do it today, and then you forget about it, now 2 weeks, and you give it 20 liters of water, whereas every Monday you give it 5 liters, and then you miss it, and one day you say, fine, I'll give it 20 liters, it's not going to work. It's not going to work with that type of thing. So that is important. Abdul Samad, you've started, with your seeds and seedling, is it too late for people to start out with seeds, or do we still have some time?
No, you have a lot of time, Ismail. Actually, if you're starting with seeds, one starts like mid-August, when spring is just coming, the temperature is getting a bit warm, it's nice conditions. So you start with your seedlings, seeds, which I do, but this year I started in beginning of August. I planted lots of seeds, alhamdulillah. But then we had a cold spell that came in, and it knocked all the seedlings, seeds. It actually killed the seeds. So I started all over again, end of August. And Ismail, you need to come and see what's happening now. It's just bursting at its seams. The seedlings have seeds have germinated. I've already started planting them. I normally do them initially in the seedling trays. I am not in the habit of planting directly into the ground. I do it in seedling trays, and when they're about 6-7 centimeters high, I plant them into in bigger containers. And you cannot believe this 3 weeks that I've planted them into the bigger containers. they've already started budding. My chilies are already budding. They're not even 20 centimeters high. So it is not too late, although we should start about a month back, not too late. Those that know how to go about planting from seeds, they should still go that route. But if you want quicker results, then go out to the nursery and buy seedlings which are ready to plant into your soil, direct into the soil in containers. It is not too late. You can even plant right up to the end of November, even early December, but then naturally you're going to harvest very much later. And whereas I will be harvesting September, October, towards the end of October, I'll be starting to harvest all my veggies.
For that, and want to go back a little bit. Well, what you said is that you start out in early August and then you're not successful, and then you did not give up. One of the benefits from, or one of the things that you learn from gardening is patience.
See, definitely.
Because it also gives you an opportunity to reflect. And you come to realize that it is not you. There's a greater force above you. And it's introspection. You go back and you say, yes, Allah is in charge of everything. No matter what you do, and all these that we are giving you are guidelines, but in the ultimate, it's in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. So whatever we get and whatever
100%.
We try, you make an effort, you try. But again, gardening is something that I must confess. It's whilst it's an addiction. Yes, it does. You get addicted and you're wanting to get out there. But you also learn a lot of things out of gardening.
True.
And I know one of the things is patience.
Too much. You get a lot of it.
Also, it gives you time for reflective moments. When you're alone in your garden, you have time and opportunity to think and also ponder about the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's lots of other things that you can do. Well, let's go on to... Well, that's for another program, inshallah, all those things. Now, you've planted and you've got your seedlings going and so forth. How would you protect them? Because, many of us would say, well, fine, we've got them and we started and we've got these little tiny ones coming up and we just see them budding. And what would we do to protect all these seedlings?
Yeah, as I mentioned, initially it's like looking after a baby. You can't just expose a baby into the open without any protection. Naturally, the baby is not going to survive. The same with this. It needs baby care. You need to look after it very, very vigorously. Look at it every day. And the slightest, experience will teach you that. The slightest problem you suspect, you try and remedy it immediately. If you feel that you have provided as a bit of shelter for that seedling, the young seedling, and you're not getting joy out of it, then what I normally would do, I'll create a bit of a hothouse. These 2-liter cold drink bottles, the plastic cold drink bottles, I cut them in half. I make tiny holes so you get air circulation going into that. And I put these caps over the seedling, because the seedling is now maybe about 10 centimeters. So you put these caps over them, just push it a little bit into the soil so that the wind doesn't blow it away, but make a couple of holes so that oxygen and air gets into it. And believe me, it will survive. It's like taking that baby now. There's a perfect example. You take a premature baby, you put it into an incubator. Until that baby's resistance improves and it gets a bit more healthier. And after a period of time, take the baby out of the incubator into a bit of a more secured environment. So this is what you're doing. You're actually putting that plant into an incubator, but make holes. You need oxygen, because now it's not a seed anymore. It's a seedling. It needs oxygen. And that oxygen can get in there. When you go into water, you don't have to remove that cap. You water around the side of that cap. The water will seep in. It will get to the roots. So that is one sure way. I would say this is 100% sure way of protecting that seedling initially.
And then how big should the plant be? About 15 centimeters when you transplant it out into the open? Would that be a fair size?
No, it's a big size that, but normally when I do the seed, go back to the seed will germinate. It takes a bit of while. Some seeds can take up to about 14 days, some within a week, you see that little guy coming through. You allow that seedling now to grow until you get at least two sturdy leaves on the top. That should be about 5-6 centimeters now. You see the sturdy leaves, not the small leaves. You see the leaves are fairly good. But up to about 8 centimeters, when that seedling is now about 8 centimeters and he's got at least two sturdy leaves on top, you can transplant him into a bigger container or into the ground.
We're going to go for a break. When we come back, we'll continue. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm just tuned in. My name is Malviya. It's just wonderful to have all of you tuning in. And I know many of us are still curled up in bread. Some of us are still around the breakfast table. Others are huddled, and I don't blame you. We're huddled with the weathers that we have outside. But if you're a gardener, you should have been out in the garden and taking advantage of this wonderful weather. And as we were during this break, we were just talking about some of the things that could go wrong in the garden. And Abdul Samad was explaining about this being an ideal condition for, you know, in the best to get advantage of this, you know. So do be vigilant if you are in your garden. Make sure that as soon as you see any signs of infestation, to treat it almost immediately. Is that right, Abdul Samad?
100%, immediately.
Okay, so now, you know, what we're talking about, there was another thing that we discussed, and the trend and the thinking that's coming out is that no-till, no-fork. That is, once you planted something, not to disturb the soil. Tell us something about that, Ismail.
Gee, Ismail, you know, once you, initially, of course, you loosen your soil. You don't want your soil to be compacted. If there's any hard matter, stones in your soil, remove them because it obstructs the roots from growing well. Once you planted your seedling, now you do not move that soil. Because the minute you're disturbing microbes in your soil. So what you do, you leave it like that, you march on the top, and if there's any weeds, recently a person phoned me and says, you know, there's a lot of weeds growing around my plants, and I've pulled them all out. I say, how did you pull it out? I say, no, I just used my garden fork. I moved, dug up the soil because they were quite big roots already, and I pulled them out. Now, that is no good. You at least spend a few minutes in your garden every day, and when the moment you see weeds coming out, do not dig that soil. It will come out easily. Remove the soil, but do not dig your. Once you plant your seedling, no digging. This is also called a no-dig garden. Initially, you prepare it, but once you planted your seeds, you do not move your soil. Put mulch around your plants so that it will suppress any weed growth. So there your problem is solved. Do not dig your garden, your soil, once you've planted your seedlings.
Yes, and it's so important that you mulch, and mulch will then, you know, eliminate, but to a great extent will not encourage the growth of weeds, and that is important. And well, you still have some people who want a very pristine, very clean garden. Mm. You know? So when you come in, they sweep up everything around there. And I think you must have seen it on your visits to many of these gardens where, you know, they think the garden is an extension of the house. So as spick and span as the kitchen has to be, they want to make the garden. So they move and they sweep out everything around there, and the soil looks, you know, but it's compacted. So it's so compacted because they make sure that they, you know, removed all the leaves and all the valuable nutrients that you need in the garden. And I think that is also something that we've got to understand.
Ismail, a point has come to my mind. Another thing, I've recently went to see a friend of mine. I don't do that anymore. My health doesn't permit me. But a friend of mine kept on telling me, I said, I'll come and see you. And I found when I got there, he took me into his garden area. And from one area to the other, he walked right across his soil. And I said, what are you doing? He said, no, I'm going on the other side. I said, but why go over the soil? You never step on that soil. You don't ever step on it. Once you've planted, you've loosened your soil initially, you've planted your seedling, you do not put your toe on there, never mind your foot. You do not walk on that soil, because what are you going to do? You're going to compact that soil. This is why a friend of mine had a bed he made, 2 meters wide. Well, it was long, about 4 meters long, but 2 meters wide. So I asked him, I says, now tell me, that plant that is growing, that veggie, it was a veggie garden, fruit security, that's growing further out, how do you reach it? He said, I just walk across. I said, no, you don't do that. you do not walk on your soil. You do not put your step or foot onto the soil. Rather make your beds a meter wide. And you have a little pathway, and you have another one a meter, so you're not walking on your soil. So it's not only not digging your garden anymore, but don't step on it, because you are compacting your soil. Your plants are not going to do well.
We now move on to planting in containers. That is your pet subject. Now, many of us do not have space, and some of us have moved into smaller environments, and we don't have large gardens. Maybe we've relocated and now living in a townhouse. Mm. Others just do not have space around them, but are still keen gardeners and wanting to garden. And saying, well, we can't get the same crops that we used to get in terms of vegetables and all the other things that they would have had when they had a larger garden. Is it true?
No, it's not true. It's not true at all. Last year, a friend of mine had moved away from Lanesia into a townhouse complex. You know, townhouse, they don't allow you to just plant plants all over. Not even on your balcony. They've got certain rules and regulations. But this area, he moved in, he appealed to the board there, and they gave him permission to plant on his patio. But the front where the grill is, he had to put a sort of a cover, so it wasn't visible from the apartments opposite him. And he came to see me, and he was a keen gardener, alhamdulillah. Not really keen, but he used to plant a few things. And he wanted to plant veggies there. And he told me, now how do I go about it? It's on a patio. He was on the second floor there. I said, no, you can do it. He said, but I got no soil. I said, you don't need soil. It's fine. You got that tile there. It's fine. And I showed him what I did, and he planted, but naturally you're not going to go and plant now, for example, a dodi.
Yeah, no. Unless no neighbor.
All your neighbors will be harvesting from your dodi. Not something, and not even these runner beans, because they are creepers. They grow like a weed. It just takes over everything. But he did the basic things, dania, the methi bhaji, spinach, lettuce, one or two chili plants. I discouraged him from the tomato plant because that can grow into a big bush fairly high, at least a meter high. So I told him not to go there, but I told him to go for the cherry tomatoes. And he asked me if I wouldn't do it up for him, which I did at home, at my home, into these planting bags. I didn't use concrete containers because they're quite heavy. I did them into planting bags, and I kept it for about 4 to 6 weeks. When I saw it was growing, I phoned him one day. I said, come through. He came through. We took it. I went with him and we put it up there. And believe me, here he is on the second floor in a patio. So he smiled like you just mentioned. There's no reason why you cannot have. Plant, I always say, when you're doing things like that, plant the veggies that you need on a daily basis. Don't go for something that you're going to, cabbages and carrots and all. That takes a lot of space in any case. But do plant what you need. The sister comes from work. If she's not working, she's at home. Go onto the patio, take some dania, take a couple of chilies, and into the pot. There you've got a fresh meal. So plant plants that you need on a daily basis. You can plant even a couple of herbs. Alhamdulillah, they do very well there in your patio in containers.
Yes, now let's go on to some of the things that we can still plant this time of the year. Now, we're going to separate them into vegetables and into herbs. And one of the herbs that most housewife wants is coriander, and that's the dania. Mm. And many of them are saying, well, but you're not getting any success by planting the dania, because you buy them from the grocery stores or from the stores that sell these seeds. They sell them for different, they use them for roasting and so forth, the dania seeds, the coriander. Now, are those seeds the right seeds to plant to get the dania in, is it, or do you need different seeds?
No, dania, a lot of people have made this mistake. I did this mistake talking 16, 17 years back. I went into a grocery store here in Indonesia, and I asked them, got dania? He says, yeah, yes, dania seed. And I bought it. I went and planted, habrakadabra, 1 month, 2 months went by, nothing happened. The reason being that, first of all, I did two things wrong. I did not plant the dania seeds, I buried them. Nearly about 5-6 centimeters below the soil. You are burying the seed. Dania, the methi bhaji, the spinach seeds, you lay them on the surface. just on the surface, and you cover it lightly with soil. That's all it requires. You do not plant it deep into the ground, not at all. That was number one, the problem that I created. Number two, I bought the wrong seed. I bought this, what they call as desi dhania. That thing does not grow here. Desi dhania does not grow here. It is normally used by our ladies. They buy it and they grind it and whatnot have you. You buy the seed that is called the planting dhania seed. And I buy them and I'm having not 100, 1,000% success. I had so much dhania, grew so beautiful. You don't get, I've never seen that type. I'm not saying that out of pride of arrogance. I haven't seen that type of dhania in our vegetable shops. Beautiful. Planting dhania, even the mitibaji is not a problem. So you buy the correct seed. Ask them for the planting dhania. It is available in Indonesia. I normally get it from a place in town. But it is sometime available. Not all the shops got it, but just shop around. You may just be lucky to get it here. And it's not expensive. It used to be 20 rand a kilo. Now it's about 30 rand a kilo. But, you know, that's a lot of dhania.
Yeah, and I with regards to that, I was making some inquiries. And it is not the big, like you said, the desi one. It's not the bigger one. It's a smaller
one.
It's
that's
a smaller
it.
One, the
that's,
darker one. So if you are going there and anybody wants to buy dhania seeds, if you're going and you're shopping out for those seeds, ask them for the small and the darker one. Dark. The bigger one is the one that's used for grinding and roasting to throw into your foods eventually.
That's
but
right.
The one for planting is the darker and the smaller one. Mm-hmm. So, for that one. And now that's a firm favorite in everyone, you know. All of us, no matter which home you're going to, that's one of it's just one of those herbs that you must have. You know, everybody wants it. It doesn't matter what season it is, doesn't matter what it is. Everybody's looking, and we have a specific season when it comes to Ramadan, and everybody wants to go a couple of months before that. You have got enough dhania. So
my phone goes off, it's hooky smart. People want 20 and 30 bunches, and I can't do that. thought has come to mind. You see, Ismail, our winter crop are the leafy crops. They do very well in winter. Dhania, mitibaji, lettuce, spinach. We are consuming the leaves. They do very well. They want cool climate. They do not do so well in summer because it's too hot. What happens, if you plant, I've tried now, I had excellent crops in winter. Right up till July, I harvested my last lot of dhania. I had lots and lots and mitibaji, you name it. I had more than the shops could ever sell. And I've given to many people. Friends come and I say, you can help yourself. Now, I normally don't do dhania and mitibaji in summer because what happens with the heat, that plant it bolts, B-O-L-T-S, it bolts. In other words, what we mean by bolting, it goes to seed because of the exorbitant heat. It does not give you the leaves, and we don't want the seeds, we want leaves. But I tried last week, my wife said, try again, plant a bit. So only one container, normally dhania had about 10 containers full, and it's the same with mitibaji and spinach. Spinach can grow throughout the year. And I tried last week, I see the mitibaji come up, and this morning when I looked, I see the dhania is coming up. But now, if you're going to do dhania and that in summer, then it is preferably if you have a large tree under the tree where you get shade, where it's cool, or where you can provide that condition for that dhania to come up. If you have a high wall and you're getting shade throughout the day, then against the wall, if the soil fine into the soil, otherwise into containers, but it must be in a very cool area. You cannot plant it in the open because they cannot handle the heat. So those are more winter crops. Then if you wish, we can discuss a bit of summer crops.
Just quickly, you know, some of the other that we can, because I want to go into one or two of the other herbs, and we don't have much time. So we've got the dhania, the coriander dhania. What other ones do you think would do well for us?
For us now in summer?
Yeah.
Well, now you see, our summer crop, many years back when we used to discuss this, I used to confuse the listeners. You know, we'd give a whole big list of what can be planted now and not. And then I found that the best way to educate our gardeners, friends, the leafy crops are and the root crops. Leafy and root crops, the carrots, the radish and all that grow underground, those are our winter crops. Our summer crop is a veggie. You first get a bud, and then the fruit comes through that bud. So initially you get a bud, For example, tomatoes, lettuce, peppers, brinjals, cucumbers, chilies. You first will get a bud, and then your fruit comes through. Any veggie that has a bud and then the fruit comes through, that will be our summer crop. So this is an easier way of remembering which our summer. Currently, you can, whatever seedling you get in the nursery now, don't hesitate, buy them, because those are definitely our summer crops.
JazakAllah khair, Innes, and whilst we're talking about what you can get in the garden centres, we spoil for choices, you know. Mm. I was a good few weeks back, and just having a look, and you find that, you know, at one time, the seedlings of the food security or the vegetables of just one or two. These days, you know, it's taken over sort of half a space of this garden center, because that's the demand that you have. So, and then also that they've hybridized, and there's lots and lots of vegetables you can get. For example, I know there's one vegetable called the tumbling tomato, which is a very small tomb, but can give you 2.5 kilos of tomatoes, of the cherry tomatoes in the season. Then you have the baby cucumbers, and you have the baby brinjals, you know, the designer vegetables. So all of that is now available, and that you can plant both on patios, in spaces that are small. So like you said, you really spoiled for choices.
True.
And I know the other one that you'd want us to touch on, we can just do a couple of that, is maybe medicinal herbs. And let's look at that. What could we plant and what should we be planting?
Medicinal herbs, I think every home should have this. There's a couple that we can just touch on quickly. Nasturtium. Nasturtium is actually an antibiotic plant. It has beautiful flowers, alhamdulillah, yellow, pink, red flowers. Plant nasturtium. Nasturtium has an antibiotic quality in it. When you have a sore throat or a blocked nose, you take a couple of nasturtium leaves, just rinse it in case there's some dust. You can take your flower too, and you chew it, but chew it very, very well. And after a minute, you feel that peppery sensation in your throat. It will actually open your throat. And as you carry on chewing, you'll find it tingling in your nostril. You'll find your nostril opening. Now you have a cold, a blocked nose and whatnot. If you go to a doctor, he's going to give you antibiotic. And what? You're going to pay for it. He's going to give you a shot, causing you pain, take a little blood out of you, and yet we have to pay them for all the pain that they've caused us. And plus we tell them, thank you very much for the pain they caused us. And they're going to charge you ₹400-500. You've got it growing in your garden if you have nasturtium. That's what I'm doing for years. Whenever I have a sore throat, blocked nose, I take a couple of leaves and a flower, rinse it, and you eat it. It's edible. It is also excellent when you're making salads. Chop a couple of nasturtium leaves in there, take a couple of flowers on there, put them on top, and you have guests, and impress them with how nice your salad will look. Nasturtium is excellent, one of the best antibiotic herbal plants that you can get, and yet it lends beauty to your garden.
And just on that note, it is also one of those companion plants which,
that's
when
right.
you plant it with your vegetable crops, it attracts the aphids and all these hoppers, and you'll find that your own plants or your vegetables and your herbs are protected. So that's one of the plants, and like you said, makes it an attractive a plant to have in the garden. You can plant it anywhere in the garden. It does not have to be confined to a garden, to a vegetable space, but any space in the garden. The only the watch point there is that if you are giving it insecticides and it's not of an organic nature, then not to ingest those plants, because then you're ingesting some of the poison. So remember, the rule is if you're going to give it anything else that's not organic, to wait at least 14 days for it to the poison to leach out, and then you can eat it. But otherwise, it's an excellent plant, like Abdul Samad says.
Yeah. It's like you say, it attracts all the aphids away. You'll find the aphids, some of the leaves will be infested with aphids, but the plants alongside the aphids, nasturtium, clean as you can't believe. I would like to share, Ismail, if permitted, the insecticide, the homemade, like you mentioned, this chemical insecticide. Is no, I don't use it at all. And like you say, there's a waiting period, a week, 10 days, you have to wait before you harvest. But the one that I, alhamdulillah, over the years I've managed to perfect it, it took me a long, long time. Many years back I started with it, and it works like a charm. I've given that recipe to many people this week. Up till yesterday I had a call, they wanted to have this recipe. Can I give it quickly over there?
Yes, please. I've got a couple of minutes.
Yeah. You take 2 liters of water. Right. These 2 liter cooling bottles are ideal. 2 liters of water. Add to this 1 tablespoon of bicarb into this water. 1 tablespoon of oil, cooking oil. You don't necessarily have to use clean cooking oil. If you're frying a lot and that oil is old, you can just strain that oil out. You don't want any grit in there, and you can use an old oil, the old oil as well. So it's 1 tablespoon bicarb, 1 tablespoon oil, and 2 tablespoons of sunlight liquid. Right. Close the cap on the bottle and give it a vigorous shake. You see, we all know water and oil don't mix. This is the reason why we put in the sunlight liquid to dissolve that oil a little bit. But the trick in this thing is that bicarb. This thing here is actually what kills off any insect. Now, if you go to a garden center and you tell them, look, I've got roses, I've got this infestation, they're going to give you a chemical insecticide. You need this. May cost you 100 rand. And you say, no, my veggies also have got this problem. Oh no, for veggies you have to use this one. By the time you leave, you've got 3 or 4 different types of insecticide. Cost you a couple of 100 rand. This thing here, it won't even cost you a rand. You can make a 2 liters of this. You put it into a spray bottle and you spray. But now, before spraying, for example, this works very well on the limri, curry leaves, citrus trees. Before spraying, those leaves that are infested, try and remove them, because the damage is done. By spraying, you're not going to reverse it. Remove as many of the infested leaves and spray. You give it a light spray on top, but you drench the leaves on the underside. This is very important, because most of these insects are on the underside of the leaves. This recipe you can use throughout your garden. I'm using it for my veggies, for the flowering. Currently I've planted lots of petunias, dianthus. My succulents also sometimes have infected. You can spray your entire garden. Where in the garden center you're going to buy 4 or 5 different types of insecticide for different plants. This one is a recipe for everything. And on Wednesday when I did this workshop, and they said, you have to give this a name, you know. Because when we go to the garden center, they got names for everything. What name? We got to think of a name. I say, you know, I beat you. I've already thought of it 7 years back. What did you give it? I say, I call this one size fits all. Anything that grows in your garden, you spray. Don't hesitate. You know, I've planted lots of dhoti. I've given lots of people dhoti seeds. I had lots of seeds, about 70 different seeds I had. I did from seeds, plants. And I've planted. Now, dhoti seeds, if you don't look after, you're going to get aphid infestation. And I use this one day, alhamdulillah.
We'll leave on that, and that's an all-purpose insecticide, and that comes to the end of another wonderful program. This morning, we have a meeting of all volunteers who want to save Opa Fats. They're meeting at Hayscock Avenue at 9 o'clock, and that's the Save the Wetlands meeting, and that happens this morning. Indonesia, if you'd like to become part of that volunteers, please do meet them. And the person to speak to is Yunus Mita, and inshallah, this is an effort that we're trying to coordinate, and the meeting is in order to plan and coordinate the day when all interested volunteers meet this Sunday, the 1st October 2017 at 10 a.m. at Opa Fest, Heathcock Avenue. And the person to speak to is Yunus Mita. That brings us to the end of another wonderful program, inshallah. Until we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.